Amen. Thank you, Father, so much for this incredible worship and this atmosphere that has been brought here this morning to create such a beauty, such a almost a feeling of peace and like anesthesia. I don't know how that kind of helps you just kind of get limp and just kind of lay off the things of this world and just really be able to just, anytime we can just get still and kind of limp, then we can actually have someone operate on us without us wiggling so much. Amen? Amen. So I just feel like there's such a freedom here just to kind of get limp in the Lord right now. So if there's some part of you that's hardening your body and resisting the work of the Holy Spirit, just let go, because you got to stop fighting him. He's going to win. He's going to win regardless if it's in this room or someplace else. So just put down that guard that you put up and allow the Holy Spirit to just come in and just move in the way that he can only move, and just allow him to come in and do the things that he wants to do in your life. This morning, as I was getting ready for Bible study this morning, I usually get ready and I worship and I pray a little bit. But this morning, God had something different in mind. He had some intercession on behalf of you ladies that are in this room. And I really want to share that, because he showed me a vision of some of the ladies in this room. And I just want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. I'm going to say that again. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Amen. Now, I'm just going to break that down real quick so you have a clear understanding. We do not fight the way the world fights. Mm-hmm. We fight with things that we do not know, that are not visible, but that is in the Word of God. Amen? So we fight with the Word of God. So the Word of God is what brings down what?
Strongholds.
And a stronghold is any place that you've set up in your mind as a fortified place against who God is and His Word. And so we can create these strongholds by circumstances in our life, by thought patterns that we continue to go over and over. But the Bible clearly says that the Word of God has the ability to bring down these strongholds in our life. So as I saw this morning in the Spirit, I saw women just being bound by stuff. I saw shackles on their arms and on their necks. I hated it. I did not like the image I saw. But the Lord says that the Word of God here this morning and in your life is going to remove those shackles and those strongholds, and they're coming off today in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I just pray that this word that you gave me would go forth this morning. Father, that the shackles that have been tormenting and oppressing for years, Lord, that they would be released in the name of Jesus. Because the Word of God says the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage, Father. And so we ask right now that the Holy Spirit would come and do what only He can do in this place, and remove our hindrances, remove our strongholds, remove the places that we have set up, fortified places against the knowledge of God. Lord, the Word of God just would penetrate our very soul and cleanse us from any unrighteousness, Father. Lord, we come with a heart of repentance for putting up these strongholds in our life. Lord, we say that we are sorry individually, corporately, whatever it is. Lord, we come humbly and say, we're sorry, God. We're sorry. Teach us your will. Teach us your ways, that we may go forth in victory and in freedom. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we are free, but we are also free indeed. Free indeed is not having to look over your shoulder and constantly thinking that the enemy is right there behind you. Free indeed is to keep your eyes forward on the prize, never looking backward, knowing that your God's got your back and that nothing can come against you, because greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just give Him a hand clap this morning. Thank you, Jesus. And just raise your hands to Him right now and say, thank you that I am freed. Thank you that the shackles are gone. And help the Word penetrate my soul this morning.
Now, you had to say it in that country accent. To really get it good, you had to allow that country accent to kind of come through. I'm just kidding. God is good. Woo, ladies. I could just do a little dance up here. Ooh. It's so exciting. God is good. Yes. Yes.
I was just going to say before you came with that word, as we were finishing up, that was the exact word that I had from the word, that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. And there are some of us, me included, that are fighting our battles carnally. Marriages, workplace, wherever it is. And God wants us to not fight carnally, flesh against flesh, but it's spirit, and that we would pull down those strongholds. Just as you've spoken, God had that word today.
Amen. He did. He did. We receive it, right? Amen. Okay, so I got the new iPhone 8. Whoop! I resisted for a long time. I resisted, but my other phone was on life support, literally. The screen was jacked up. The screen shook, ladies. It shook. And I just thought, well, it's got the Holy Ghost on it all the time. But it finally got to the place where I needed to turn it in. And so, of course, obviously, when you turn it in, they always say, well, you get this phone. So I got this phone. Well, this phone doesn't have the normal attachment. So when I got here this morning, I realized that my old school mic that I put in here wouldn't attach. I forgot the piece that attaches in there. So that's why I'm carrying my phone with me for the podcast. Now, hopefully it will work. It won't sound as clear, but at least it'll get the word out there. Amen. It'll just have to make people be more attentive to what's being spoken. Come on. All right, so this is number 7, found or forgotten. Can you believe we're here? I know. It happens so fast. I was telling my husband this morning, or yesterday, it's gone by so fast. And today is always bittersweet for me. It's always a, you know, exciting day. Lord, I accomplished what you gave to me today. And that's an exciting thing to say, Lord, I accomplished what you have given me to do over the last 7 weeks. And I thank you for the strength to carry it out. And I thank you for the opportunity that you gave me to do it, you know? But then there's that also kind of deep place of, oh. Because when you truly walk in your calling, it is a place of joy. It's a place of peace. No one has to ask you to get up in the morning and do it. You get up singing a new song because you know you're getting ready to walk into what God has called you to walk in. And it's a really exciting place. And if you are walking in your calling, you'll know what I'm talking about. So that's the part that gets hard for me because there's a little bit of a gap here before I come and see y'all again. Which, by the way, God has already given spring study. I'm super excited to announce what it is. It's going to be earlier than later. So we're going to do a winter study. It's going to be in February to spring break, and then it's over. And it's called Uphill in Heels. Uphill in Heels. Ladies, I'm telling you, it's going to be good. I'm excited about it. And it's being a godly woman in uphill times. How hard is it to say that you walk with God in the lives that we live in, the times that we live in, when people call themselves Christian and clearly don't walk according to the word of God? So there's going to be a lot of digging into some women that had to get their heels on and go uphill in the Bible. So that's what we're going to be going on. So I'm excited about that. I don't know why I shared that with you, but I did. It's something to get you excited about. Today is called Guilty by Association. Guilty by Association. People that live in a place of forgotten will always try to pull you to where they are. If you have found that you are found, and hopefully by number 7, you realize that you are no longer forgotten. Come on. You are found. No matter what your circumstances, you are found if your face is towards the God that heals and delivers. If you have found that you are found and not forgotten, there's going to be a time in your life when you're going to have to turn away from those that do not live in the realm that you are living in. Now, this has nothing to do with stop being a witness to unchristians, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying your daily food from others needs to be people that are where you are at or higher, so they can encourage and equip you and you can walk together up this ladder of life that we have. You do not want people pulling you down. You do not want people taking your hand and saying, girl, you know it's fun down here. Then you get a big old bruise. You need people to pull you up and to encourage you. You know, there's so much I feel like going on around women now is to talk about how life sucks and how life is so hard and life is, you know, it is what it is. You know, there's times in our life when it's not fun to be at home and you've got poop up to your ears or you can't get that weight off, or just, you know, you're having trouble communicating with your spouse. I mean, life is life, right? And so we get on social media and we talk about how much life is so hard, and then the other women get on there and they talk about how life, and so they begin to find these common bonds together about how life is so hard. But, and there's nothing wrong with that, but what happens when you just talk about sucky stuff and you never encourage someone to rise above it? So life is life. I get it. But God has better. Amen. He has a better way to think, a better way to live. And we need to get on and encourage and equip us to get out of the pits that we find ourselves in. So guilty by association. The question in this situation is, how do I know the difference in those that walk in found or those that walk in forgotten? Because it's tough. Because a lot of the time you will share a lot of common interest and ground with these people. And I'm going to get into the word in just a minute. So we need to know what makes us different. And we need to understand what gets us tangled up with them in even the first place. Now let's go to the Bible. Turn to Matthew 25. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. Come on. The Lord's coming after you this morning. Hey, I like it. 25, 1 through 13. I'm going to read it out loud. If you will follow along, that would be great. At the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their wicks. The foolish one said to the wives, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." All right. Before we jump into some of these differences, I really want to go over the common ground of these 10 ladies, because this is where we get ourselves in trouble, because this is where we find ourselves guilty by association. There are going to be things that are going to be common ground interests that are going to bring us together with certain kind of women. The first thing that the Bible tells us about these 10 ladies that is common is that they were all virgins. Say virgins. And what does that mean to me? And how does that relate to me here and now? Well, being a virgin is the beginning of something that you have never done before. I'm going to give you time just to let that sink in. Being a virgin is the beginning of something you have not tried or done before. So, these 10 ladies were all in the same spot. How does that relate to me biblically, spiritually? Did you know that God gives equal opportunity to every one of us? Equal opportunity. Did you know that His grace is for Teresa just like it is for Tammy? Do you know His favor is for Colleen just like it is for Michelle? Equal. He gives freely. He gives equal. He gives every one of us here the ability to experience His grace, His mercy, His peace, His joy, His forgiveness. He is an equal opportunity employer. No one gets a head start. Salvation is for everyone. The prostitute and the saint. They all are starting in the same spot. They all are getting that equal opportunity of who He is in God. Man, that's exciting. You mean so-and-so doesn't get a head start? No. We all have opportunity. I think what happens in this world today is that we tend to put this thing in us that other people get head starts in life because of opportunities given to them. So-and-so is raised in a Christian home, so they have more knowledge and understanding of the Word of God than I do, so they get a head start. Or so-and-so has gone to church their whole life, so they have a head start on salvation. I'm going to tell you something, ladies. It's not the responsibility of the church to teach you. It's your heart's desire to learn. There are people that have been raised in Christian homes and gone to church their whole life that know anything about salvation and what God is and who He is to them. There are people that have come into the saving grace of Jesus within a week, no more than people that have been studying for 20 years. It's about a heart's desire to seek His face, to know more about Him, to experience the Holy Spirit in your life, and to walk with Him. It's freely given to all. Amen? Amen. All right, number two. The next thing these ladies all had in common, all these ladies wanted the same thing, to go into the wedding banquet. We all want the best, right? No one comes to church and says, I want God to just strike me with lightning. God, that was funny. We all want the best from the benefits of the kingdom of God. We all want His peace, His provision, His favor, His joy, all the benefits of the kingdom of God. We all want the best. These ladies all wanted the best out of life. Come on, this is the common ground stuff that we're talking about. This is the common ground stuff we're talking about. We all want the best. We all want the best. All of these ladies wanted to experience the best in life. They were all willing to go and experience the feast that they were told about, that Jesus was going to offer to them. The common ground between them is equal opportunity. That's the first one. The common ground between these ones is that they all want to experience the best. Number three, the Bible says they all had a lamp. Every one of these ladies had a lamp. What does that mean? You know, I really had to ask the Holy Spirit quite a bit on this one, what this meant. Ooh. Woo! Goodness gracious! That was crazy! Okay. Well, I had to ask the Holy Spirit for a while about what He meant, the lamp meant, because I knew it was significant because that was the last thing that they all had in common. They all carried a lamp, right? They were all virgins. They all wanted to go to the feast, and they all carried a lamp. So as we become a believer, you carry a lamp. The lamp is the light of Christ, right? Yes. The light of Christ. The lamp is the light of Christ. All 10 had lamps, so all 10 were believers or believed to a part enough to carry a lamp, knowing that they needed it. Now, here we get a little nitty-gritty. Five of these ladies looked at their lamps. Five of these ladies realized that their lamp was a daily renewing because times were dark. I'm going to repeat that because I just really want y'all to get that this morning. There's real significance here. Five of these ladies looked at their lamps, and five of them realized that they were daily having to renew the lamp because times were dark. Come on, if we're not living in dark times right now, I don't know what earth you live on. Keeping our lamps burning daily is the key to walking in to the kingdom of God. Now, in explaining this, what makes these groups different has nothing to do with their desires for the best. It has nothing to do with somebody getting opportunity more than others. What it has to do with is their attention to their oil, but not just their oil levels. Come on. So not just their oils, but their oil level. Are you ready to go deep? Because we're fixing to go deep. With the help of the Holy Spirit, I pray that I relate this message to you for your physical, spiritual, and mental gain over your life. Put your hand on your head and say, "Open me up, God, to understand your word." All right. The question here should not be about opportunity, but the question here should be, where do I get my extra oil? Come on, ladies. After you read this, you're like, where do I get my extra? Do you know that God is trying to tell you something really cool here? He's trying to give you information to prepare you for the here and now. Where do I get my extra oil? Well, when I wrote that down, because I thought that's what I need to enter into the kingdom of God and to feast with him on a daily basis, where do I get this extra oil? Well, I had to know what oil was. So I had to go to environmental class and really do some study on this, which was quite fun. But I wanted to know what oil is. How is oil produced? Because I need to know how it's produced in order to get it in my own life. So what makes an oil sheik? What makes a poor man become a billionaire overnight? Come on, you've heard the stories. What makes this world physically run every day? Oil. Oil production is huge. Could there be some similarity in the spiritual world as well? What is oil? Are you ready? Oil is dead organic material, plants and animals, this is true, that have decayed into the ground over a process of three things. What is dead turns into oil. When I read that, I about fell over. I'm going to say it again. Oil is dead organic material. Plants, animals. I think one time I read that banana peels. I thought that was hilarious. Plants, animals, banana peels that have decayed into the ground. And over a process of three things, which we will talk about in just a minute, what is dead turns into riches, turns into oil, turns into a need for something to function correctly. Ooh. So over a process, the dead things, ladies, turn into a function in the kingdom of God. Wow. Oil is produced when we let go of what God says, let go of. Now, we talked a lot about this last week with our soil. Don't you think there's a common theme that something good can come with soil? Remember soil last week and how that soil is made up of broken rocks and decaying plants and stuff, we talked about having to let the old man go and the old way of thinking go in order for that good soil to be produced in our life. Well, I'm going to tell you again, in order to get oil, you got to do the same. God is adamant about us not looking back. He's adamant about us going forward. He says, put behind you all that's behind you, pressing on towards the goal. He says, the man that looks back on his plow is not fit for the kingdom of God. He is constantly telling us to keep our eyes forward, move forward in him. Don't look at the lost thing that you lost. Don't look at your lost marriage that's forgotten. Don't look at the lost opportunity, the lost job, the lost hope, the lost relationship that you keep carrying around with you and you won't let go of it. And God's saying, just lay it down at my feet. Ladies, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't let it go, what happens instead of you producing oil is you start to produce bitterness. You start to produce anger. Come on, you've seen those people. You know it. They're bitter, they're angry. And most of the time, if you go anywhere deep with them, they'll tell you immediately what they're angry about. So we start producing anger and unforgiveness and bitterness. And then we wonder why our bodies are physically, spiritually, and emotionally out of whack. We're hanging on to things that need to be let go of. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There was something that I was really struggling with over the last 6 months in my mind, in my thought process. And I kept getting mad. I just wanted to get a pan and hit my head. Seriously, I was so mad. I was like, come on, you can get over this. And all of a sudden last week when I taught, because you know that I'm up here learning with y'all, right? Yeah, I'm up here learning with you, right alongside of you, okay? So last week with the soil, I began to put that into practice in my life. Funny, right? So began to put that into practice, and daily I said, God, break up the hard places that I think I have made in my life towards certain situations, and I let go of the old way and the old time of thinking. So I began to do that every day, and I found myself stop thinking about the specific thing less and less. In fact, it was like calculated. What I thought about 50 times a day, I think now was like 2 or 3. Because I constantly said, I don't want this in my life. I want fruit in my life in this situation. I'm laying it down. I'm laying it down. I'm not going to take this because my old Amanda would have carried it and carried it and carried it. It works, guys. Testimony. It works. It works. Okay. So, how do you know it's a dead thing that you carry? Because a lot of times we have so much that we carry, we don't know what's dead and what's alive. This is how you know. It brings a negative emotion when you think about it. It brings a negative emotion when you think about it or talk about. It brings anger, sadness, depression, or insecurity. Your job when that emotion comes is to recognize it and say, this is a dead thing. I'm a live person. The Bible says that I am a living sacrifice for my King. Therefore, no dead thing needs to be in me or coming out of me. I lay that dead thing down right now in the name of Jesus. And it has to be done because you claimed it in the name of Jesus, right? Then all of a sudden, Isaiah 61 becomes a reality in your life. Beauty comes for ashes. Gladness comes for mourning. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness starts awakening you every morning. God can restore it, ladies. He can restore it, and he will restore it with his best. But unless you let it go to the ground, he can't bring the richness of it. You know how God says, I'll give you double for your trouble? I'll bring back what the locusts have stolen? This is it, ladies. But he can't bring back anything that you won't put down. Okay, there are 3 things needed to happen after you lay it down. Are you ready? Three things. The first thing that has to happen to this dead, the dead stuff, is heat. Heat has to be applied. Heat represents the presence of God. Now, you can't just lay it down and go about your day in the flesh. You got to lay it down and then put the presence of God in your life. Amen? Every time we read about the presence of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, usually heat, fire is associated with it. Mount Carmel with Elijah. The presence of God showed up with great fire and consumed his sacrifice instead of Ahab's. In the New Testament, we have tongues of fire with the new church representing the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. Heat, heat, heat needs to be applied over your dead self. Go into the presence of God. His heat will start to turn your loss into his riches. Now, this doesn't mean that you go to church on Sunday morning and Bible study on Wednesday morning. Heat needs to be a daily thing in your life. Invite God into your life every day. Invite his presence into your life every day. Say, God, I want you. I need you. Walk in his heat. Walk in his presence. Walk in what he offers you. Heat. Heat has got to be applied in order for this dead thing to start become a well-equipped thing that is most sought at after in this world. Are you getting something here?
Yes.
Good. Number two, pressure. Heat and now pressure. Now, pressure represents circumstances which pushes you to the presence of God. What happens when you apply pressure when you're birthing? The baby comes out, right? Eventually, when you apply a lot of pressure. But there's something about pressure that God wants us to understand. And anytime he teaches us something through birthing, I believe it's extremely of his nature. Pressure has to be applied in order for the good thing to come out in your life. There is nothing like pressure applied in your life that will bring you to your knees. You don't have to go to Bible study. You don't have to listen to a sermon when pressure is there. You're just here with this pressure and you get on your knees and you just cry out to God and you just say, I need you. And all of a sudden, this riches comes and oil starts spilling out of your life because you allowed the pressure of God to come into you and to produce something good. Pressure. We think that's when God is trying to kill us, but really, he's trying to heal us. Come on, that's when you really think, oh, I don't know what he's doing. Oh, really, he's trying to heal you. Surrender in that spot. I know it's not fun. I've been there so many times. It's not fun, but what comes out of it is good. It's good. Pressure. Number three, time. 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 Wait on the Lord and be of good courage is what the Bible says. This is not the fun part. This is the part where we kind of get antsy and we kind of want to have our Ishmael while we're waiting for our Isaac, you know? We get antsy. We want to produce something before the timing. But God says, wait. But listen to this. Does he tell you to wait and wait and it will come? What does he tell you to do actively while you wait? Be of good courage. What does that mean? To rejoice, to have a positive attitude, not to walk around with, oh, God's killing me. No. When people ask you how you're doing, you say, God is good. He's doing a new thing in my life. Something's happening, and I'm excited. And worship him in there. Amen. Worship him there. Be of good courage while you wait. Because you know, now you ladies know, so there's no, you can't say you don't know. Now you know that oil is being made in your life. Oil is happening. Riches is happening in your life. So you know what to do. Ain't no excuses coming up in this house. Come on. You know what's happening in your life. You know what's happening in your life. Be of good courage. Worship. Praise him. In the morning, in the evening, at noonday, even when you don't have time, just speak the name of Jesus and say you are welcome. If that's all you can get out, it's enough because God knows your heart. He knows your heart. Praise makes time go faster. I'm going to tell you. Praise makes time go faster. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself just praising the Lord and boop, a can of oil will be there. Boop, an oil rig goes off in your backyard. I'm telling you, ladies, God's got good stuff in store. God told the Israelites, little by little, you will inherit the promised land. Esther took 12 months to prepare for one night with the king. There was something in her prep time that made the king notice her more, and her one night determined her future.
Hallelujah.
Come on, ladies.
Hallelujah.
That one night can determine your future. That prep time, that renewing of yourself. Don't just stare at the lamp and say, yeah, God is over there. He's good, I guess. I don't know. And then turn around and look at it again. No, be involved with the light. Get the oil daily so you can freshen the light every day. So you can be that light in this world. Come on, I'm preaching good today.
Yeah.
Five of the virgins took time to get extra oil. And in one night, like Esther, they walked into the fullness of God. That gives me goosebumps. The prep time determined the future together. The prep time determined. So what makes us different? Guilty by association. What really draws us and causes us to be different with others around us? You will know now. You will know now. You will know because there'll be people next to you that are encouraging you in your struggle and pushing you forward and continuing to walk with you and giving you a word of encouragement and saying, girl, I'm going to pray for you. Let's just lay hands on this knee right now that's bothering you. You'll know when you're walking with people that are getting extra oil on a daily basis. Stop hanging with those that are drawing from your oil. That's how you know that you are dealing with foolish women. Because at the end it says, give me some of yours. Does it not? And what do the wise ones say? No. I love that. It's okay to tell them, no, go get your own. Because you've worked hard for that oil, ladies. You've worked hard. It's been a daily renewal. So when people come, it's kind of come and siphon that oil from you, you know it because it's like when you're around them, you feel the oil being sucked out of you. It's true. That's how I feel. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And you just need to turn to them and say, you know what? Go get your own oil. Amen. And you walk on. Sometimes we got to be strong in the kingdom of God. Sometimes we have to walk away when we know that it's going to pull us down.
Thank you, Father. Yes.
You got to walk away when you know it's going to pull you down or steal your oil. And that's not being a good Christian by doing that. That is doing what the Bible has said to do to protect yourself from going backwards when you are called to go forward. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this time. We thank you for what you spoke here this morning. Lord, we want to be a part of the five wise women, the found women, Lord. We don't want to be forgotten and left outside of the feast because we didn't want to take our daily time with you to prep for what is needed for the daily renewing of our mind every day. Father, we thank you for who you are and for what you've done over the last 7 weeks. Oh, I just pray over these women as they go forth, Father, that fruit will come in their lives, that they will just be blessed as we head into the holidays, that this won't be a normal holiday of la-di-da, Santa's here, that it'll be a holiday of real admiration towards you and adoration for who you are and what you came to do, and that you came to save, and that you came in small beginnings, and that you fed the world from just a small place, Father. And we thank you for that, knowing in our lives that something small can turn into something so powerful when we mature it and when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Lord, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for the blood of Jesus. I pleaded over every one of these ladies today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.